spend time in your word. God, I just appreciate the opportunity to teach your word. You know, I love to teach what your word says, just because it has it has so much for our lives. And God, I just pray that as we look at what love is and we look at things that keep us from loving other people, that our response would be to get rid of those things, get those things out of our lives that keep us from loving others, and that we would pursue the only thing that really counts according to you, which is faith expressing itself through love, and that we'd pursue that with our lives, and that we would filter everything that we're doing, everything that we're doing every day, everything that we're saying every day, we'd filter that through this idea of your kind of love, and that we'd live it out, and that people would know us by the way that we love them and the way that we love each other. Pray this all in your name. Amen. All right, 1 Timothy 1:5. We've been looking at this each week. It says, the goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. And again, I want to show you the New American Standard Version, which I think is just a better understanding for us of what it says, which is, but the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Both Paul and Timothy were teachers. They were what they called pastor teachers, guys who were consistently teaching God's word to the people in their church. And Paul actually taught at multiple churches. And he says the goal, the end result of all of our teaching, of all of our instruction, should be love. And not just love, but agape love, God's kind of love, the kind of love that God has for us, and the kind of love that God is calling us to have as believers for other people. It's not the way that the world loves. It's very, very different from the way that the world loves. But that the whole point of all this studying and learning and understanding God's word and spending time together in fellowship is so that we learn to love God and love other people better. And I hope you guys know that challenged by this quite a long time ago, my whole goal for you guys, I'm your teacher, okay? Every Wednesday night, I come and I teach you God's word. My whole goal for you is that you would learn to love God and love other people better. That's my only goal. And I hope you guys see that as we continue to get into his word. And we looked at the first thing last week, that it's love, it's God's kind of love that comes from a pure heart, that comes from a place of not allowing sin and getting comfortable with sin in your life. And it's love that comes from a good conscience. You guys mentioned some things about what you think of when you think of conscience. I think of Jiminy Cricket. Always let your conscience be your guide. It's the awareness of right and wrong. When you boil it down, that's really the definition. It's the awareness of right and wrong. Your awareness of in your life, whether you're doing right or whether you're doing wrong. And another way to say this, and I think a better way to say this, is love from good intentions. What's the reason behind, what's the motivation behind what you're doing, your love? Why you do something, the point on your hand out there is why you do something is just as important as how you do something. That God's kind of love, it's important that we have the right motivation behind it. And I'll show you some passages that show why that's important. Flip over to Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Matthew 6, verse 1. And you guys can try to beat me to those passages if you want, because you know they're coming up. This is Jesus talking to a crowd of people. Somebody read that verse. What does it say? So he says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness in front of others, talking to this group of people, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. He's basically saying to this group of people, be careful not to do the things that you do, the good things that you do, out of the wrong motives. See, the context here is he's really talking to these religious leaders that were part of this group that he was talking to. And he was talking to the crowd because the crowd was heavily influenced by these guys who were doing these things that appeared righteous. And that a lot of things that they were doing were righteous. They were good deeds. But he says, be careful not to do your good deeds in front of other people. He wasn't telling them, don't do your good deeds. He wasn't saying, don't do these acts of righteousness. He was saying, as you do these acts of righteousness, as you do these good things, as you show love for other people, do it out of the right motives. Be careful not to love other people so that before men is what he says here. And really, you could put in any kind of motivation. This happened to be the motivation that they were struggling with, that they were struggling with doing all these good deeds, doing all these things that they were supposed to do so that other people would see them and they would be impressed by them. That actually applies a lot to us now. I think a lot of what we're drawn into, especially those of us who have grown up in church, we're really drawn into doing good deeds, doing good things, being nice people. Because if we're not nice people, the people in church, the people at youth group, won't think very well of us. They'll be like, oh man, Nate's kind of a jerk. And we don't want to be thought of as a jerk. And so our desire is for them to think we're pretty good people and we're pretty nice people. But he says, be careful with that. Because you know what? If you're doing the things that you're doing, if you're doing the good deeds that you're doing, no matter what it is, no matter what good things that you're doing, maybe you're sharing Christ with your friends at school. It's a good thing. Maybe you're going on a mission trip with us in the summertime. That's a good thing. You're going to a retreat on Friday. That's a good thing. You're here every week. That's a good thing. But be careful when you're doing these things that you're doing, that it's for the right motives, not the wrong motives. Not to impress other people, not for other people to think well of you. And you could plug in other motives here. He just as easily could have said, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness, not to do these good deeds, not to love other people for money, for stuff, for what you get from other people. Again, that's a pretty big motive, at least in our world. It's not maybe that you do good things because you're expecting to get paid, but you do good things because of what you can get out of other people. You can get more. Have you guys ever heard that phrase, you can get more with honey than you can with bees or something? I don't know. How's that phrase go? Anybody know? You can get more with honey than... What?
Yeah, that's it. More with honey than with vinegar. Anyway, the point is that that sometimes we're nice to people, sometimes we are friends with people, not because of the way that we can love them and serve them, but because of what we get. And we actually stay away from friends, and we stay away from being there with certain people, because really we don't get anything. Maybe they are hard to be around. Maybe they don't get things for us, don't give things to us. And so we don't have to hang out with that person because it's all about them. It's draining to be around that person. And I need it at least a little bit to be about them. Be careful that you're not loving other people because of what you say. You can also say, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness and stuff, not to love other people, so that, because it makes you feel good. Which is a huge driving force in our world today for good deeds. What makes you feel good? And not to say that doing good and doing nice things and loving other people is not going to make you feel good. and that that's a problem, that you should stop doing things that make you feel good. That's not at all the point here. The point is that what I'm doing? Is that your motivation behind loving other people, behind caring for other people, behind doing good things? It's because it makes you feel lonely. And you want that woman pleasantness. It's okay to have that woman pleasantness, but be careful that's not driving your life. That your motivation is here. 1 Corinthians 13. So yeah, let's go with that. Right? Let's be there. 1 Corinthians 13. Well, we're going to be for the rest of our time. So look over there. Okay, he's done. 786. 1 Corinthians 13. Anybody know what this chapter is called? Yeah, but they call it love. The whole chapter is dedicated to love. And he starts out in 1 through 3 and says this. He says, if I speak in human or angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and have a faith that moves mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, I give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. He starts out what he's saying, we'll go on with more about what he's saying here. It's like when he starts out saying, motives matter, is all he's saying. Because he's saying, you know what, if I speak in human or angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. You understand, that doesn't mean a whole lot to us now, maybe mean a little bit, but basically what he's saying is if you're a really great speaker and you're super eloquent and people are, every time you speak, you're like, wow, what a great speaker that person is. Then, but do not have love, then you're like a gong. Or, you know, it's not what you want to sound like. Or playing simple, shh. He's saying, it's no good. It's useless. Even if you're the best speaker in the world, it's useless. That meant a lot, actually, to the Corinthians. Because in Corinth, one of the most important things that people held up as being just amazing were your speaking abilities. They would have these town squares where people would just stand and they would just speak. And the most popular, most famous people were these great speakers that were just impressive. And so he's specifically saying this kind of, even if you're the best speaker in the world, even if you're the most popular person happen to be in this particular area, but do not have love, you're a horrible sound. If I have a gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have faith that can move mountains, if you don't have love, he's saying, if you're this fantastic person who is impressive in spiritual things, you're an impressive person in the church, and people will highly respect you because of all the talents and gifts that you have. But if you do not have love, worthless. Even if you're some highly respected person in the church, worthless. He says, if I give all I possess to the poor, I give over my body to hardship, and I may boast, and do not have love, I gain nothing. If I have millions of dollars and give every dollar away to the poor, to charity, what are people going to think of? You're good. Thumbs up. Nice. You're awesome. You're amazing. I cannot believe. I would make, if I had $1 million, if I had $5 million, I gave every single dollar to the poor, and I became poor myself, and I gave it all away, I would be on every national news network for weeks. And they'd be going, whoa, man, Nate is so amazing. Look at all the money he gave. But he says, if it's not that out of love, is your motivation about love? There's a guy, April 17th, 2009, there's this news story of this guy in Kalamazoo, Michigan. He won $10,000 from the Michigan lottery, and he gave all $10,000 to And that's what he said. He said, I was heavily influenced by my close friend, Julie, who taught me to think of others first and to stop and think about what life is really about. I know the needs of the community are great right now. So for me, it was the right thing to do. That's pretty good, right? Goes on, he says, I feel very good today, knowing that I can help a little. Probably my best day in a long time. And he goes on to talk about, I'm going to summarize because he goes on for quite a long time. He goes on to talk about all the people that came and thanked him. And what a great thing this was. That he just, the thanks did not stop coming. I can't say what his motives are. We can't say what his motives are. But I can say, based on the tone, that he was pretty happy with the fact that he knew that he was going to get a lot of attention. And that he was going to feel pretty good about it. Now, most people will look at that and go, you know what? That's fine. That's great. What a great guy. You can wait $10,000 to the local elected boy and girl scout that you really like to. Or you can be mad at what you see. Most people will go, that's great. That's fantastic. But now, you know what? Be careful. If you give away everything you own, you give away this $10,000, which, by the way, a side note, he's a CEO. You probably don't know. But that's not the point. The point is that we need to be careful why we do what we do. We live in a world that is actually more and more being impressed by people who give away to charity. I see it all the time. There are way more commercials now about charities and charitable organizations than I ever remember from years ago. And so much more publicity over people giving money away and all this stuff that people are doing to give their money away. And it's impressive. But what we need to look at is, you know, all the good things that we do. Why do we do it? Because it's not for love. But that's not a motivation. It's worth it. Let's make this a little more practical for us. Maybe this is a lot, but what might be possible motives for walking in a What? You don't want to see her get hit. Because you would feel horrible if you stood there and she got hit by a car, right? And you could have hit. But it was possible. Okay. So you have some, you feel sorry for her? Compassionate? $20. Yeah, I was about to say, how about something not so great about it? You think, oh, she's got a pearl necklace around her neck. Maybe I can make a buck. And she's giving you $20. Okay? It's going to be a possible motive. She's a nice old lady probably, and she's probably going to go, oh, it's heavy, thank you so much for it. Thank you so much. Now think about about this. What usually happens if, what would happen if we didn't stay home? What would happen if we were hoping for that $20 and we did got nothing? She just walked away. Didn't say anything? Didn't give anything? Even worse, what if she was like, I can go across the street myself. Well, how would we respond to that? We'd probably see if my wife can see this. It reveals our motives. How about playing a sport in school? Volleyball, basketball, swimming. What could be some possible motives? Fun, because you like it, okay? But, to win, okay? Because winning makes you feel good, right? It's exciting. But, weight loss. Get stronger. Stay in shape. What might be some things that we consider not so great?
Take a quarterback.
Like from cheerleader. If they deliver. To show off my video. And what happens when we have those motivations, like if we have motivation to win and we don't? Even frustrated, and that's of course motivation. What happens if it's to show off how good we are and we have a bad game? How does that usually happen? Mad. Tick off. Not count off the table.
Blame other people.
Happens a lot, right? What if your goal in getting into a sport is to become first string? You know what's the first string?
That's the first one.
Quit the team? What else? Have you guys ever noticed someone going, finding someone who is starting? You go. Look at that ball she just missed. Comes out in those ways. Shows us our motives, right? How about playing an instrument or singing? Seeing groups at school, some of you guys are on the worship team. Look for some possible motivation. What's one big probably not great motivation? Show off, right? People think, oh, you're so great.
Yeah, good boy.
How about cleaning your room? Taking out trash.
Get money.
Get allowance. What's kind of the opposite of that? What happens if you don't care?
It smells.
Punishment, right? You get in trouble. Think about this. Think about if there was no money and there was no fear of punishment. Do you think you would take out the trash for your parents? Just kind of. Or you would vacuum the carpet just out of love for them? Or you would clean your room?
I would.
Just out of love for them?
And I don't think they would, but I think it just drives me crazy to see travel or sit here.
All goes to motivation. And he says, motivations matter. That's the important thing. So what are our motivations? 1 Corinthians 13, going on with verse 4. It says love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts. There's a lot in here, and you guys can go back and look through a lot of these things. It's a great description of what love is. But I'm going to focus on the motivation statements that he says about love. The first one is in verse 4. He says, it does not envy, which is, it does not, when you're loving others, it cannot come out of a motivation of wanting what they have or wanting something for yourself. I talked about some of that idea. It's the idea of becoming friends with someone who has a car because you want a ride to places you didn't have. So I'm going to be friends with someone who has a car so I can drive. I'm going to be friends with someone who has horses because I love horses and my parents are very good at horses. I am going to be friends with a person because they have four-wheelers, snow machines, and I have none of that stuff. And if I'm friends with them, they can't have friends. Be careful. Be careful how you know what it is. Why? Because the bottom line is, if that's your motive is not love. It's impossible for the desire for what you can get from someone else to be your motive and love be your motive at the same time. Impossible. And that exists. Because they're opposite. They're complete opposite. It says, it does not boast. It is not proud. Both of those have the idea of being respected, being well-liked, being thought of as impressive in some way. Sports, or in just your general business, or how cool you are, be popular. It is impossible to have a motivation to be well liked and be well respected, and for people to think well of you, and for you to have a motivation. We think those things exist at the same time, but they do not. Love does not look out for what I can get as far as making love. And the best statement here that actually encapsulates the whole thing is that it's not self-esteem. Love that phrase. Anything that you do that you're looking after your own interests, if that's your motivation, you're looking after your own. It is impossible to be looking after your own interests and to be loved. Because God's kind of love, agape love, is a love that is others see. That always looks for the best for someone else, not for them. And so if I'm doing something out of what I can get for myself, it is impossible to be motivated. I don't know about you, but that challenges me. Because there are plenty of things that are part of my life that I'm looking at for myself. That I'm looking at for what I can get. How I can be happy. How I can be happy. You have to be careful. Be careful not to do the things you do. Ask you guys, do you believe this? Do Do you believe that the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love? The only thing that really has true value in life is faith, this trusting relationship we have with God, coming out, expressing itself, showing up in our lives. Or do you believe that sports are creative? My happiness is creative. My career choice is creative. My future. The only thing that is faith expresses itself. Questions that bother your hand. What motives in your life need? What motives in your life do you need to change? What motives in your life do you need to take and compare those to the motives we talked about last week? To the motive of love, really. That's really what all the motives in your life need to be lined up against. There it is. Am I doing whatever I'm doing? How do we love you change? How do you apply this truth to your life? I guess it's still in the box. We think it's still in one of those things. Where if you're asking that God is teaching you or not. Yeah.